Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaleshu Imati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Bhakti Gaur Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bhagavad Gita Chapter 2 Text Number 20 Na jayate mriyate va kadachin ayam bhutva bhavita va nabhuya Yonitya shashvato yam purano Anyate hanyamane sarire. Translation: for the soul there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever existing in primeval. He is not slain in the body of slain.
Она никогда не возникала и не возникает в ее жизни. Она нерожденная, вечная, всегда существующая, изначальная. Она не уничтожается, когда погибает тело. Комментарий. Бесконечно малая частичка высшего духа в качестве энергетичного. Она не подвержена изменениям, как тело. Иногда душа называется неизменной или кута-штха. Тело подвергается изменениям в шести видах. Оно рождается из чрева матери, некоторое время существует, растет, производит определенные действия, постепенно истощается и, наконец, уходит в бытие. Душа, однако, не претерпевает подобных изменений. Поскольку она принимает материальное тело, это тело получает рождение. Душа же не рождается и не умирает. Умирает все, что рождается. А так как душа не рождается, у нее нет ни прошлого, ни настоящего, ни будущего. Она вечная, всегда существующая и изначальная. То есть в истории нет следа ее возникновения, хотя мы и пытаемся их найти в руководстве телесной концепции бытия. Душа, в отличие от тела, никогда не стареет. Поэтому так называемый старый человек может чувствовать себя таким же молодым, как в детстве и в юности. Изменения тела не затрагивают душу. Душа не увядает, как дерево, и как вообще все материальное. Душа также не производит побочных продуктов. Побочные продукты тела, а именно дети, также являются индивидуальными душами. И, обретая тело, индивидуальная душа вступает в роль ребенка конкретного живого существа. Тело развивается благодаря присутствию души, но у души нет никаких определений и изменений. Таким образом, душа свободна от шести видов изменений тела. Как в Упанишад 1.2.18 имеется аналогичный стих. Начиная от Эм, Рианты, Ва, Випашчи, Аян, Куташчи, Набабху, Акашчи, в этом стихе говорится о том же, о чем мы поговорили, но здесь еще употребляется одно особенно важное слово – випашчи, что означает ученый или обладающий знанием. Душа полна знаний, или она всегда в полном сознании. Таким образом, сознание есть признак души. Даже если невозможно обнаружить душу в сердце, где она пребывает, мы все же можем понять, что там она присутствует, исходя лишь из наличия сознания. Иногда мы видим солнце из-за облаков или по какой-то другой причине, но мы видим его свет, и потому убеждены, что сейчас день. Как только рано утром небо светлеет, мы понимаем, что появилось солнце. Потом тем же образом, видя некоторое сознание во всех делах, как у людей, и у животных, мы можем понять, что в них присутствует душа. Тем не менее, это сознание индивидуальной души отличается от сознания присущего Всевышнему, ибо оно обладает полным знанием прошлого, настоящего и будущего. Индивидуальная душа, однако, склонна к задумчивости. Душа, забывшая о своей истинной природе, может узнать просветление, внимая лишь по учению Кришны. Ему эта задумчивость свойственна, иначе его наставления, изложенные в Бхагавад-гите, были бы бесполезны. Существует два вида души. Душа – мельчайшая частица, ама-атма, и сверхдуша, випху-атма. Это подтверждается в карте Упанишад 1.2.20. Оно – амия, махатоба, хия, атмасия, джатор, нихито, пхая, тапагатух, пашняти, вита, шопа, джатух, прасада, махимана, атма. Как сверхдуша, парамата, так и индивидуальная душа, дживатма, располагаются в одном и том же периоде тела, в одном и том же сердце живого существа. И только тот, кто освободился от всех материальных желаний, а также от скорби, Боже, милости Божьей, понять величие души. Кришна также является источником параматы, как это станет ясно в следующей главе. А Арджуна есть духовная искорка, склонная забывать о своей истинной природе и потому нуждающаяся в просвещении исходящего от Кришны или от его истинного представителя, духовного учителя.
Наджайте мрите вакадачин, наям будва бавита вана буя, аджонита сасвату ям пурану, наханите ханьямане шарире. For the soul there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever existing and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain.
Для души не существует ни рождения, ни смерти. Она никогда не возникала, не возникает и не возникнет. Она нерожденная, вечная, всегда существующая, изначальная. Она не уничтожается, когда погибает тело.
So this is a very famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita. It's a verse that devotees should learn. Here in Bhagavad Gita, there are, we can say, three especially important topics that Krishna is explaining who we are, what is the soul, what's the nature of the soul.
Кришна объясняет, кто мы такие, что такое душа, что такое природа души.
And he also explains who he is, who is the Supreme Lord.
И он также объясняет, кто такой Он, кто такой Верховный Господь.
And he explains the relationship between the individual soul and the Supreme Lord.
И он объясняет взаимоотношения между индивидуальной душой и сверхдушой.
How one can develop that relationship through bhakti or devotional service.
Как можно развить взаимоотношения благодаря бхакти или преданному служению.
Of course, there are many other topics explained in the Bhagavad Gita.
Конечно, Bhagavad Gita объясняется много других тем.
Different types of yoga.
Различные виды йоги.
There is explanation of the splendor of the creation of the Lord.
Есть объяснение великолепия творения Господа.
The universal form.
Вселенская форма.
The workings of the modes of material nature. So these are also important topics. But it's especially important to understand who we are, who is God, and what's our relationship with Him. So the first topic that Krishna explains is who we are. So there are quite a number of verses here in the second chapter on this topic. But amongst them, this verse is particularly significant. It's clearly explaining the fact that the soul is eternal and doesn't have birth or death. And cannot be destroyed by any material means. So the soul is ever existing. So here in this world, we are accustomed to birth and death, to things coming into existence and going out of existence. So this understanding of the nature of the soul is it's of a very different nature from what we're used to in this material world. But yet, as Prabhupada points out, this is our nature, that we are always the same being. As he says, that the soul in the body of the child and the soul in the body of the old man are the same. The old man may not feel himself to be an old man. He still feels himself to be joyful, youthful. He is ultimately different from the body, and that's why he doesn't feel old. His body may have got old, but he himself doesn't feel old.
Он чувствует, что он не это тело, что он никогда не стареет, а это тело может не стареть.
Of course, if a person identifies too strongly with the body, then he may get depressed that his body is getting old. So Bhagavad Gita is teaching us that don't be too attached to this body. If you're too attached to this body, you will suffer a lot. Because material body means there is suffering. Birth is painful. When child comes out of the womb, he's crying. He's in a very packed up condition. It's very packed up inside. What to say? Packed up. And in childhood also, children also often cry as their body starts to develop. So similarly, death is painful. Nobody likes to think of death. We would prefer to forget about that. And disease is painful. When we get sick, we feel uncomfortable. Similarly, old age can be painful also because body is breaking down, so there are various kinds of disturbances. So if we are identifying strongly with the body, then we'll get affected by the changes in the body. If we feel some enjoyment of the senses, we may become happy or elated. And when there is some painful condition, then we feel depressed. So, cycle of birth and death means that a person is attached to the body, and this causes him to take birth in another body. His consciousness and his desires are focused on the material world. So in this way, he is bound in the cycle of birth and death, which means cycle of suffering. But by nature, the soul doesn't want to suffer. So it's not natural to be in this uncomfortable position. So Bhagavad Gita is teaching us how to get free from this miserable condition of material life. How to return to our natural eternal consciousness. But to do that, we have to understand our spiritual nature and develop our spiritual nature. Our spiritual nature is covered now by this material body. But the process of Krishna consciousness allows us to reawaken to our spiritual identity. So, it's a very powerful process. But in the beginning, then, we have to learn who we are. We have to become convinced of our spiritual identity. Then we can continue to develop our spiritual identity. So, the development process is devotional service. Yoga means to link with the Lord. And bhakti means through devotion. So, bhakti is divided into 9 different angas or limbs. Shravana, kirtana, smarana, vandana, pada, sevana, dasyare, pujana, sakijana, atmani, vedana. These are 9 different aspects of bhakti, beginning with hearing about the Lord, then chanting the glories of the Lord. Then always remembering the Lord. In Nectar of Devotion, there's a list of great devotees who attained perfection by different processes. Shravanam, for example, perfection was attained by Purkit Maharaj because he simply heard the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kirtanam, Sukadev Goswami attained perfection just by chanting or repeating the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, others like Haridas Thakur, for example, attained perfection simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Smaranam example is Prahlad Maharaj, who remembered Krishna in all difficulties, and consequently he was saved from the wrath of Hiranyakashipu. Then Vandana, offering prayers, Akrura is considered to be a person who became perfect by that process. Padasevanam, serving the lotus feet. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, is always massaging the lotus feet of the Lord, so it's considered that she attained perfection in that way. Pujana, offering worship. Example is given of Prithu Maharaj. When he began to rule the earth, the condition of the earth was not good, but by offering very nice worship to the Lord, he pleased the Lord, and the earthly planet became abundant and opulent. Sakijana means befriending the Lord. Arjuna is an example of that. Dasyare, to serve the Lord. Hanuman is an example of a perfect servant of the Lord. He was the ideal servant of Lord Ram. Atmani Vedana means total surrender to the Lord. So Bali Maharaj is an example of a person who gave everything away, his entire kingdom, and he himself also bowed his head at the feet of the Lord and surrendered himself totally. So in addition to these nine personalities who attain perfection by each of the different processes of bhakti, the example is also given of Ambarish Maharaj, who practices all the processes simultaneously. So, in ISKCON, most probably we should try to follow that example, the example of Ambarish Maharaj, and practice the different processes simultaneously. It's not recommended for neophytes, say, to imitate Prakrit Maharaj and just sit down and listen to Bhagavatam for 7 days. Or to imitate Haridas Thakur and just constantly chant Hare Krishna mantra. But rather, in the modern day and age, because people are very agitated, they need a variety of activities. So in the Bhakti Yoga process, there are varieties of activities. And one can, every day he can do different activities which are all purifying and all connected to Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, there's some verses describing the activities of Ambarish Maharaj. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayorva Changsi Vaikunta Gunarna Varnane Karo Harer Mandira Marjanadi Shu Shutim Chakarachuta Sat Katodaye. This means that Ambarish Maharaj always engaged his mind in meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. He engaged his words in glorifying the Lord. He engaged his hands to clean the temple of the Lord. And he engaged his ears in hearing about Krishna or hearing the words spoken by Krishna. Mukundalingalaya darshane drisho tad vritya gatra sparsengi sangaman granam chitat pada saroja sorabe srimat tulasya rasanam tadarpite. He engaged his eyes in seeing the deities of the Lord. He engaged his body in embracing the devotees. He engaged his nose to smell the incense, tulsi leaves offered to the Lord. And he engaged his tongue to taste the prasadam offered to the Lord. So, then it said that he engaged his legs to walk to the temples and holy places of the Lord. Pado Harir Shetra Pada Bivandane Shiro Rishikesha Pado Harir Shetra Padanu Sharpane Shiro Rishikesha Padabhi Vandane. He engaged his head in bowing down to the Lord. Kamam Chadashena to Kama Kamyaya Yad Uttama Shloka Yadashraya Rati. He engaged his desires to satisfy the desires of the Lord. He didn't have any separate desire for his own sense enjoyment. So in this way, he engaged his senses 24 hours a day in the devotional service of the Lord. So this is an ideal example for one who desires to advance on the path of spiritual life. So, in ISKCON also, a devotee strives to be engaged constantly in the service of the Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada has given us many, many kinds of service to perform. The first service is that we should chant Hare Krishna mantra. This is Hare Krishna movement. So that means everyone should chant Hare Krishna. Get up early in the morning and chant your rounds nicely. Go to kirtan and chant and dance. If you don't do that, then you'll become weak in spiritual life. But if you do it, then your consciousness will become purified and cleansed. Then Prabhupada has also written all these nice books. And he especially wanted the devotees to read them. So that's why he established regular classes in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So that the hearing process would become a regular part of every devotee's life. So in this way, by hearing and chanting about Krishna and by engaging in service to Krishna, we can remember Krishna at all times. Now, of course, there are also many kinds of service. So everyone has to practice that mood of dasya, of becoming the servant of the Lord. And we have pujanam, worshipping the Lord. Vandanam, offering prayers in glorification of the Lord. Of course, preaching prapavedanam, we can say. This is especially important. This also kirtan, actually. See, Prabhupada, he said, book distribution is brihat madanga. So madanga is used in kirtan. So book distribution is called brihat madanga because small madanga may be heard for a short distance, but book distribution, that is, its effect is felt all over the world. So there are many other activities also for preaching, like festivals and prasadam distribution. Opening centers and temples. Namahata preaching, holding gatherings in houses of, you know, interested persons. Different kinds of communications and public relations, meeting important persons. Srila Prabhupada would like to meet government officials, he liked to meet philosophers and religionists. He used to preach to them to convince them about Krishna consciousness. Gurukula, this is also important training activity and preaching activity. In order to train future generation as devotees. And development of international projects like Sri Mayapur, Sri Vrindavan Dham, which are the spiritual homes for all the devotees. Then development of farming projects for simple living and high thinking. So like that, the list is endless. There are so many kinds of service for Krishna. And that means we can engage unlimited numbers of persons. Everyone can be engaged in Krishna consciousness. It's said, an astrologer, he predicted, when Prabhupada was very young, he predicted that he will build a house in which the whole world can live. So this is a fact. Krishna consciousness is a universal process. It's not limited by, you know, race or by nationality. It doesn't matter what is your background. You just have to come to the realization of your eternal spiritual nature. And act for the development of that spiritual nature. In this way, your relationship with Krishna will develop. You can use your abilities. You can even serve Krishna according to the, you know, particular country where you live. The way in which devotees in Russia, the way in which devotees in China perform their activities and service may be slightly different. You know, prasadam may be a little bit different. You know, you like to eat bread and cabbage and potatoes, and such things as you find over here, offer them to Krishna. And they're eating these noodles and maybe soy.
Tofu,
what is it? So, from soybean, tofu, it's called. Soya, soy sauce and things like that. So they like that. They offer to Krishna. They may sing with a little bit different accent. Hale Lama, Hale Lama. One day go oh sweet, Chavanava Vindam. They sing like that according to their nature. They have this style of practicing Krishna consciousness. But it's same Krishna consciousness. Even Prabhupada, he used to say when he saw different deities in different countries, then he would make a comment. Like, for example, when he was in Paris, he saw Radha Parasishwara. So he said that Radharani looks like a French girl here. So, there may be slight variation, but the basic theme and basic principle, basic philosophy is the same. Because it's a spiritual process, it's an eternal process. It's not restricted by time and circumstance. It was followed thousands of years ago, and it can be followed today, and will be followed thousands of years in the future. That's why Prabhupada said that the Krishna conscious movement is the real United Nations. Devotees are coming from every conceivable part of the world, and they're able to cooperate together because they have a common interest. But we can see that in different parts of the world that so many wars are going on because people are on the bodily platform. I'm belonging to a particular nationality, that person is from another nationality, so then it may be some conflict. But this nationality is temporary. And we have to give up this body. See, one lifetime we may be born English, next lifetime we might be African. See, so our position as an English person is not eternal. So therefore we shouldn't be too attached to that idea. But our position as eternal servant of Krishna is eternal. So we should be attached to that idea. So therefore this verse is very important. Our English body, our Russian body, it will be finished one day.
чеченское тело, наше русское тело, в один прекрасный день это все закончится.
But our soul will not be finished.
Но наша душа останется.
Our position as servant of Krishna is eternal.
Наше положение слуги Кришны, оно вечно.